seated, everyone. Thank you, Heather, again, and thank you, everyone. Let's look to Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 18 this morning as we dig back into a familiar Old Testament passage of Scripture that has been my theme over this past couple of years. During these seasons of struggle for so many people, I made it my ambition to communicate the message of Isaiah 40:31 to as many people as I could. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because how many of you know, in the midst of struggles and difficult seasons, we need the Lord? Say amen. And so today's going to be a simple message. I see the clock up there, so don't anybody get too worried or too afraid. We'll be done by 2 o'clock or so this afternoon, so don't worry about anything. And we'll move quickly this morning as we look to Isaiah's message to the people of his day. A quick word about the book of Isaiah and chapter 40. As we think about the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters. Most scholars and teachers divide the book of Isaiah into two distinct halves. Chapters 1 through 39, chapters 40 through 66. Chapters 1 through 39 are about God's judgment on the nation of Israel for their sinfulness. Judgment is coming, says chapters 1 through 39. Then when we move to chapter 40 and the rest of the book, the primary message is this: though judgment is coming, God is a restorer, and God will bring restoration. And so as Isaiah prophesies about the future, he prophesies about a great work of judgment, but he also moves to prophesying about a great work of salvation and restoration for those who will turn to God. Listen to me this morning, everybody. The most important word of news you could ever receive is this word of news: if you're against God, you're in trouble. If you're for God, you're going to make it, because God is for you. And so as we come to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning, we're coming into the first part of that second section of the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah is bringing good news about God's coming deliverance. In fact, chapter 40 begins with some familiar words that are contained in Handel's Messiah: comfort ye my people, says the Lord, with a message that God is going to bring. Today's message is a message for those who are weak and weary and worn out. Has anybody ever been there? I have been there. And as you know, when we're dealing with spring allergies in mid-Missouri, we might live there for a few weeks. Could you say amen? So let's look together at this powerful word. Even as we begin reading today, I want to say to you that sometimes we're struggling and weary in our physical bodies. But the Lord has promised, and Paul wrote this word to the Corinthians, though we are wasting away on the outside, yet we are being renewed on the inside day by day. So that means that even when we're struggling with sicknesses and with physical weakness, and have any of you ever gotten to a place in life where you realize you can't do as much as you used to do? Is there anybody like that? I started feeling that way when I turned about 23. Can't do what I used to do. Now, I you look at me today, and I humbly acknowledge to you today that in the physical realm, I never did do much anyway. But I would admit to you today, at 57 years old, I can't do what I used to do. But Isaiah is going to give us a message today that speaks to us about the reality that even though we may even be tired in body, we can come alive through the refreshing power of the Spirit of God. And though you may be struggling on the outside, you can have the victory of God on the inside. Hallelujah. And so let's look and read together at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? The Lord sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to nothing and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of God's great power and mighty strength, not one of those stars is missing. Why do you say then, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And everybody said amen. Amen. The ministry of Isaiah the prophet spanned nearly 50 years. As Isaiah preached and prophesied from the city of Jerusalem during the reigns of four different kings in the city of Jerusalem. A long ministry and not always an easy ministry. Isaiah was a preacher and a prophet. He prophesied about many things that would come in the future. In fact, one of the most famous prophecies and one of the most amazing prophecies known to man is found in the book of Isaiah when Isaiah prophesies a king by the name of Cyrus 100 years. 100 years before Cyrus came to his throne in Persia. A miraculous prophecy. And Isaiah would prophesy many things about the coming Messiah. So Isaiah prophesied about the future. But Isaiah's ministry was primarily centered around preaching to the people of his day and bringing them a strong message from the Lord, a message that said this: stop trusting in false gods and turn your attention back to the true God. Now, we're going to read a little bit this morning about idols. When we think about an idol, perhaps you think about a Buddha. You know, I've been amazed that, you know, when you go into some of these stores these days, you can't find a cross one, but you find 42 statues of Buddha. You know, I want to kick Buddha right out of the store there. I won't do that, but. When we think about idols, we think about a physical idol sitting up on a shelf somewhere and heathen people bowing down, worshiping that idol. And that is a real picture. It's the picture laid out for us by the prophet Isaiah today. But when we think about Isaiah's message, Isaiah was preaching to the people that they should stop trusting in physical things and the things of this world and turn their attention back to the Lord who could really help them. You see, the people of Isaiah's day were calling upon, praying to the false gods of the lands around them. They had forsaken the Lord and turned their attention to these false gods. And the Lord speaks to them through Isaiah to say, turn back to me. I'm the one who can really help you. Your answer, says Isaiah, is not the false gods around you. Your answer is the living God, the Lord your God. When we come to Isaiah chapter 40, we hear Isaiah preaching to people who are weak and weary and worn out. And he says to them, the Lord is the answer for your weakness and for your weariness and for your insufficiencies, for your seasons of uncertainty, for your fears and your worries. The Lord is the answer when you don't know what to do and when you've come to the end of your rope and when you've done everything you know to do, it's time to turn to the Lord and trust in the Lord. The Lord is the answer when you are worn out from trying everything else. Turn back to the Lord. And the Lord is your answer when you need a fresh shot of energy, a fresh infusion of strength into your life. We all know what it is to be weary and worn out and need to be refreshed. Some of that can come from taking a nap. And some of it can come by taking a day off. But much of what we need in a spiritual world like the world we're living in is more than just physical rest and renewal, though that's a biblical principle. But we need the spiritual renewal that can only come from the Lord. A supernatural inpouring of His spiritual strength into our lives. And so I want us to look at that promise today, that assurance from the Lord that He is the source of our strength and He can renew us, He can revitalize us so that we can keep going. Isaiah's message has five simple truths that we examine together today, and let's do it quickly, please. Truth number one is this: idols are insubstantial. When Isaiah preaches to the people of his day, he wants them to know how foolish it is to bow down to a block of wood or a sculpture of metal. And to think that somehow that can help us. And Isaiah says about those idols that were filling the land of his day, he says, idols are fashioned and formed by mere men. How can you expect to get any help from something that you made? You know, you carved it out. You whittled a stick and then propped it up on the ground, and now you're praying to that stick. How ridiculous is that, Isaiah says. Idols are fashioned by mere men, and idols are fashioned from mere materials, gold and silver and blocks of wood. Isaiah says the rich people have idols of gold and silver, and the poor people have idols of wood. And they bow down to those things, and they pray to those things, and somehow they think they can get an answer from those things. And Isaiah basically says to the people of his day, it's a foolish thing to think that your answer is going to be found in something that's created and formed in this old wicked world. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we know that an idol is nothing in this world. It's nothing. An idol is insubstantial. Let me tell you, friends, that just as the idols of gold and silver and blocks of wood are not worthy of being trusted, there are many things in this world that Christians prop up and place as idols that they worship, and more than that, that they depend upon and that they cling to and that they think will answer all their problems. Sometimes people think money will answer all of their problems. Sometimes people think the stuff of this world will provide them with security. Sometimes people take pleasure in particular activities and they think, if I can just keep my lifestyle going this direction, that'll be enough for me. I'll tell you, there comes a time, friend, when we realize that the stuff of this world is passing and we need something that is not passing. The stuff of this world will fade away. And as believers, we need something that is lasting. Idols are insubstantial. The second truth Isaiah gives us in this passage today is that people are puny. Have you ever felt that? I have. People are puny. Perkinses are puny too. Perkins people are puny too. People are puny. And Isaiah lists three categories of people here. First of all, he refers to princes and potentates, the powerful people of this world. Princes and rulers of this world. Isaiah says they're going to come to nothing. They seem big and powerful, but they're nothing compared to God. They live for a little bit, and then their lives are extinguished. And God is able in a moment to just wipe them away by blowing on them. Even the most powerful men of this world are weak and small and powerless compared to God. May we remember that in a world today when we're looking around the world and seeing men who rise up, men who have an evil bearing, who are doing wicked things throughout the world. May we remember that every knee will bow before Almighty God to give an account one day. I want you to know that the plans of wicked men will come to nothing, and God Himself will be exalted. And ultimately, the right will prevail. Princes and potentates are puny. The second thing Isaiah says is that even people in their prime are puny. Verse 30, he says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Even young people get tired. Did you know that? I'll never forget in my office one day, I had just hired a new young youth pastor. I won't call his name. And he would regularly sort of boast about his strength. And so one day we were in my office doing some rearrangement of furniture. And as we were rearranging the furniture, I said, slide my file cabinets over that direction to center them in the room. And I'll never forget, he got on there, strong young man, and he pressed on that. He said, I can't move those. I said, all right, get out of the way. I came over, and I did this, and I walked him right over there. I'll never forget his response. Well, you weren't there, Lisa. I'll never forget his response. He said, he looked around to everybody in the office. He said, well, all of my strength is upper body strength. I said, well, why didn't you use some of that upper body strength? Sometimes what we need to do is work smarter, not harder. How about that? But even young people can run out of steam and run out of energy. Isaiah says even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. The third category of people, puny people, is that pooped people are particularly puny. Probably never thought you'd hear that in a sermon outline, did you? Pooped people are particularly puny. Now you laugh, but have you ever felt pooped? Yeah. So many times, no matter who we are, we find ourselves exhausted and weary and worn out. Isaiah refers to those people as the weary, the weak, the tired and weary. We know what it is. How many of you know what it is to take a vacation and then need a vacation to recover from the vacation? That's called wearing out and getting tired. People are puny. Idols are insubstantial. People are puny. The third truth this morning we see in Isaiah's message is that God is great and good. God is a mighty God. Everybody say, I am weak, but thou art strong. Remember that old song? I am weak, but God is strong. I may be puny, but thank God he can make up for my puniness. God is great and good. Isaiah says God is sovereign. He sits above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He is in charge. He is over all. God is sovereign. Secondly, God is the one who stretches out the stars. That is, he is the creator of the universe. Isaiah says, if you want evidence that we serve a great God, just look up into the heavens at night and see the twinkling starry host and understand that God created every one of those stars, brought them into being. Isaiah even says, God is the one who makes sure that when those stars appear, not one of them is missing. Now think about the awesomeness of God, who can stretch out the stars, count the stars and call them by name, and keep such track of that multitude of stars that he can be sure that not one of them is missing. Now, how many of you in the house today believe that if God can keep track of the stars, and if God can keep track of the sparrows, he can keep track of you? Amen. Yeah. God is sovereign. God stretches out the stars. Thirdly, God is strong and steady. Isaiah said he will not grow tired or weary. Though every human being on planet Earth has a tendency to grow tired and weary, God will not grow weary. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God endures when people fall. Yeah. He is there. He is there. Some people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in all of that nonsense. Well, the sad reality, friend, is the Bible will be there, God will be there when they preach your funeral. You will die. God will live on. God's existence does not depend on your acceptance of it. The psalmist said, it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Now, we don't have time for a lesson in apologetics today, but the reality is there is ample evidence, abundant evidence, all over this world of the reality and the power of our Almighty God. He is strong and steady. Fourthly, God is the one who sees and surveys. Verse 27, the people of Israel were saying, well, God doesn't see me. And God doesn't know what I'm dealing with. But Isaiah says, that's a lie. God does see you. God does know what you're dealing with. God is keeping track of your life. God does see deep into your heart and knows what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. God sees and knows. His eyes are ranging throughout the whole world to find those who will just look in his direction and call upon his name. God sees us and knows us. Now we're getting down the good part here. Because thus far in this message, we've had a lot of bad news. Idols are insubstantial. People are puny. That's bad news, but how many knew it already? People are puny. The third message, God is great. And we say, well, that's awesome. But just because God is great, that doesn't help me. Well, we're coming down to the good part here. God is not only great, but God is good. And God is the one, says Isaiah the prophet, who strengthens the weary and increases the power of the weak. This great God who has created the universe sees where you are, knows when you're weary and worn out, and comes down into the midst of your situation to pour water into your life, or gasoline into your engine, or joy into your soul, or peace into your mind. He is the God who comes to where we are and strengthens us and renews us and revitalizes us. God can refresh us today. That's the good news. God is great and good. The fourth note from Isaiah in the midst of this message is that we are welcome. We hear it in Isaiah's words. We've been informed of this message. Isaiah says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hasn't been told you? Haven't you understood? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? God is your answer. God is the one who can help you. Now we say today, yes, I've heard. When Isaiah says, haven't you heard? Don't you know that the Lord is your answer? I hope that the people here in the sanctuary today have heard enough about the Lord that they would say, yes, I've heard that. How many of you have heard that the Lord can strengthen you? Let your hand say amen. Oh, what a simple message, but boy, if we hadn't heard that, we'd be running on empty all the time. But because we know about the Lord, we understand there's hope for us. We've been informed and we've been invited to receive this help from the Lord. I take you to the New Testament and the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The same work that God Almighty was doing in the days of Isaiah the prophet, Jesus continued and magnified and amplified when he came into this world and looked out and saw the people scattered around like sheep who did not have a shepherd, tired and weary and worn out from this old, broken down world. And Jesus said, I know there are a lot of you out there who you are at the end of your rope. You have just about breathed your last. You feel like you can't go on. You feel like the burden is too heavy to carry. But Jesus says, come on over here and I'll help you. I'll give you rest. I'll give you refreshing. I'll give you renewal. If you're here in this house today, friends, and I know this is a generic message today, but I want to say to you this morning, if you're in this house today and you're just worn out in some category in your life, I just urge you to hear the invitation of Jesus and draw near to Jesus today. And say, oh Jesus, you're my answer. You're my strength. You're my refreshing. You're my renewal. One of the things we desperately need to do, dear friends, is get our eyes off of all of the troubles of the world and get our eyes back on Jesus. That is the beautiful picture. Yeah. As I said not long ago in a sermon, if you don't like the outlook, try the uplook. Because looking at Jesus is a far better picture than what we could find in this old world. We are welcome. And as a result, number five, our last point today, revitalization is really recommended. Look up at me, everybody. I urge you today, don't just continue on in your worn out state without being serious about getting a refreshing from the Lord. Are you here? You'll run out of gas. And let me tell you, when you run out of gas spiritually, you'll be stranded in a place where you don't want to be. When you run out of gas spiritually, you lose your spiritual cutting edge. You lose your defenses. Let me just say to you this morning that when we become tired and weary spiritually and emotionally and even physically, when we don't do something about our tired state, We are more vulnerable to temptation. We are more vulnerable to discouragement. Huh? When we allow ourselves to run on empty, we are more vulnerable to the deception of the devil. You know, there's a verse in Deuteronomy I preached from years ago where Moses said to the people of God, he said, you remember what the Amalekites did to you when you were coming out of Egypt. He said, when you were coming out of Egypt and you were weary and worn out, the Amalekites took advantage of that and they came in and they cut off everybody who was lagging behind. Think about that. When we're weary and worn out, we are vulnerable to the victimization of the enemy. We need to be running on spiritually full tanks to stay refreshed in the Lord, to stay strengthened in the Lord. I want to encourage you today, if you're running out of steam, get into the presence of the Lord. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment, about a few ways to press into the presence of the Lord. But look at what that revitalization from the Lord will do. First of all, our strength can be renewed. I believe these are spiritual promises, but listen to me today. God's promises have impact in every part of our beings, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Notice now, the scripture says, our strength can be renewed. Verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Secondly, notice our sights can be refocused. Notice what Isaiah says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Now, let's pause for a minute. I told you I believe these are spiritual promises. So let's take a quiz and test that out. Have you ever seen any person flying? Have you ever flown? I'm talking about without an airplane. Have you ever, anybody here ever flown like an eagle through the air? Now, I have dreamed about that. My dream life is very strange. I have several recurring dreams, and one of my recurring dreams is that I am flying through the air. The greatest of you. No, I'm flying. I'm like swooping. My flying in my dreams is a swooping motion. It's like a I've dreamed about flying across the sanctuary, and I'm not talking about jumping off the balcony. But I've never done that. I'm confident Isaiah was not saying that we would grow wings and fly like an eagle. He's talking about soaring above the smog and the fog of this world to be able to have an eagle's eye to see with clarity and perspective. Isaiah says those who trust in the Lord and hope in the Lord, they will soar on wings like eagles. They'll be able to understand, oh, I know I'm in the midst of a bunch of trouble, but I've got a higher perspective. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, and God has given me the ability to know that this world is not going to have the victory over me. God is going to bring me through this. There's help from the Lord, and there's hope on the other side. Our sights can be refocused. Thirdly, our speed can be rejuvenated. Those who hope in the Lord, they will run and not grow weary. I think this is a spiritual promise as well. I have long since laid aside the need to run. I haven't run. Now, some of you watched me on a video. Oh, maybe a couple years ago when that bunch of shenanigans out there, you know, stole the catalytic converters out from under our bus. Do you remember that story? Some young people cut out the catalytic converters. Well, stupid me, I thought they were skateboarding out there. It was midnight, and I was in the office. And I saw these kids out here messing around the bus. And I went out there, and I thought, what are those guys doing out there? And I just went out there. And they hightailed it out of there. They threw what I thought was a skateboard in the trunk. It was a catalytic converter. And they sped off of there. And so I thought, what'd they do? So I walked out there to the bus. And I thought, what's going on? Walked between the two buses. I thought, what's going on here? Looked around. I thought, well, I guess they were just playing around with their skateboard. Point up at me, everybody. Point up at me. Say, naive. A dummy. I thought, well, I guess they didn't do anything. So I walked back to the church. Here they come again, circling around. But up to the buses, and I was walking back through the hallway again. Midnight, I was working, but it's quiet and peaceful in the church office at midnight, I want to tell you. And so there, I saw them out there again, and I thought, what's going on? What are they doing? So I opened the door, and I hollered out, hey, what are you guys doing out there? And I walked out there a little bit, and they came running back, and I thought, oh, I don't think they're up to anything good. And so I trotted back into the church building. I trotted. Let me show you what that trot meant. It was like this. That's about as good as I get these days. I was back in there. I don't really need to run physically, but sometimes I need to run spiritually. Listen, there are enemies I have to run and run away from. There are other enemies I have to run and chase them away. There are other times in the ministry where I have to do God's work and I need some special strength to get done what I need to get done. And I need to move quickly. And I feel the need for speed. And I say, help me, Lord. To do what I need to do. Our speed can be rejuvenated, our spiritual speed. And fourthly and finally, our stride can be recalibrated. As Isaiah closes this passage with this declaration about those who hope in the Lord, they will walk and not be faint. Now, think about the order of these promises. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, here are the three parallels. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Ordinarily, in a passage like this, you would think that you would move in those promises from the lesser to the greater. Walk, run, fly. But Isaiah presents them, the Lord presents them to us through Isaiah in the opposite order. You'll fly, you'll run, you'll walk, and not be faint. Knowing that as we move through this life, more often than not, we just need to keep going, don't we? More often than not, we just need to keep up our pace. So that the enemy does not stop us, so that the devil does not kill us, amen? So that we can keep on going and walk through this life in the plan and the purposes of the Lord. We can be revitalized as we hope in the Lord. Now, I've provided three sentences in the box at the bottom of the outline for us to close with. These are ways to strengthen our hope in the Lord. Listen, if hoping in the Lord is the answer, how do we do that? Well, here it is. One, hope awakens as we secure and affirm and declare our covenant relationship with the living Lord by committing ourselves exclusively and entirely to Him. Let me see the hands in the building of those here today. You are children of God. through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. As we firm that up and declare it and take confidence and joy in the reality of who we are in Christ. My hope is not in the things of this world. My hope is in the Lord, through whom and in whom I live and move and have my being. Number two, hope arises as we flood our minds with the Lord's promises to us. Promises for this life and promises reaching beyond this life. Hope then becomes our anchor to the future and to our forever. When we're hoping in the Lord, we're believing that the Lord will bring us through to the next thing. That's what hope is. Everybody say, hope is about the future. That's what hope is about, the future. And hope believes God is going to bring us into the future. We sang this morning a line from Psalm 118. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That means I believe God is going to bring me through this present season into the next season he has for me. And then hope becomes our anchor to the future. Hebrews paints it like this. We throw an anchor into the presence of the Lord and we hold on to the rope. And when we're trusting in the Lord, dear friends, the anchor holds. Yeah. And third and finally this morning, hope abounds as we pray and praise and worship and rejoice in the Lord, thanking the Lord for who he is, what he has done, what he is doing now, and what he is going to do in the days ahead. Our God has brought us this far. He will not fail us now. He'll be with me till I see him face to face. Amen and amen. Stand together, everybody. I want to pray today. It's 12:21. We still got another hour and 40 minutes. I want to pray today especially for those who are weary in their bodies and their spirits and their minds, in their emotions. And what you need today is for the Lord to refresh you and revitalize you. Look up at me, everybody. I can't count the times I have gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm worn out. I need a revival. So refresh me. And so I want you to know, if you're there today, that's a common place to be. Don't run out of gas. Get your tank filled in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 We want to pray for that today. I want us to acknowledge this morning, if you're here and you'd say, I've been really worn out in some category of my life. Maybe it's physically, maybe mentally, maybe spiritually. But you say, I've really been worn out. And I need the Lord to refresh me and strengthen my life. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. Hold it up. We're going to pray together in agreement in just a little bit. I see hands lifted all around today. We need the Lord's refreshing and strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to say to the young people today that young people are not invincible. Do you hear me? Have you ever seen somebody? How many of you know what's the most common vehicle to be in the median on the interstate during a snowstorm? It's a four-wheel drive truck. Why is that? They think they're invincible. They think I can do anything. Nothing will harm me. And I want the young people in the crowd today to know that we understand young people can get really worn out and weary in different categories. You might be strong physically, but you might be worn out emotionally, spiritually. And our answer is to go back to the Lord again and again and again, to stay in his presence and to be refreshed by the Lord's presence. So we're going to pray for that today. Let's agree together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us and your desire to supply for us exactly what we need. Thank you for being a refreshing to the weary soul today. Thank you for physical strength, spiritual strength, mental strength, emotional strength. We pray today, oh God, as we look to you, we pray that you would fill us again with the strength of the Lord. Help us to keep our eyes upon you today, Lord. And help us to declare regularly, oh Father, I am your child. You are my Father. You are my source, oh Lord. Thank you for promising to supply what I need. I draw close to you now, and I praise you, and I worship you, Lord, for who you are, for all that you're doing in my life, that for what you're doing in the lives of people around me. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I believe that you're going to see me through, and I rejoice in that today, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today, we have some of our prayer. We got a lot of people gone today. Do we have more of our prayer partners here this morning? Any more? Pastor Lisa, you're a pastor. You're supposed to be up here. What's going on there, Pastor Lisa? Oh, Pastor Lisa is weary and worn out. She forgot even to come to the altar today. All right, our pastors are here today. Brother Frank is up there as well in the balcony. We want to make ourselves available to you. If you need special prayer today, to come and let us pray for you. Also, if you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus into your life, and you know today you need a relationship with God. Friends, a relationship with God comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. He's the one who says, come on, come to me. If you're weary, I'll give you rest. Jesus will welcome you into the family of God today. If that's you, you come as others come as well today for prayer. And we'll pray for the Lord's blessing upon you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, dear friends. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you strength. And fill you with his divine strength and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great day.